He did.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe three, according to how the Lord lays three places I'd like to share them with you quickly. In 2 Samuel, chapter 23, we'll read some there first. And then in 1 Samuel, I believe chapter 22, but we'll look at the scripture in 2 Samuel, chapter 23 first. And this scripture is toward the end of King David's death, and he's listing the men that served with him. And I like to use the term served with him.
Amen.
Rather than under him. Because God looks at all of us equal.
Right.
No big, no little. We're all the same in God's eyes. We'll begin with verse 8. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adino the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar the son of Dodo the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave to the sword, and the Lord brought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah the son of Agi, the Harite, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord brought a great victory.
Amen.
When I was looking at this, I began to wonder, where'd these guys come from? You don't hear a lot about them anywhere else except right here. And I began to wonder where they come from. And the Lord led me to 1 Samuel.
Amen. Garden of bee patch, buddy.
Chapter 22. And if you're familiar with this, First and Samuel. I like what Brother Paul says. He said, "This what a book."
What a book.
He says, "What a book." And there's just so much in this book that we can't begin to comprehend. Chapter 22, begin with verse 1. David, therefore, and David has fled from Saul. Saul's trying to kill him and get rid of him, because I think at this point Saul realizes he's done lost his throne, and God's give it to another person, and David has fled. And at one point he even fled to a city and presented himself as being crazy. But here in chapter 2 it says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. And when his brethren and all his father's brethren and all his and when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented, gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. And I began to look at this and began to think about the mercy that God had on me.
Amen.
And you know, in this world's eyes, we might not be much sitting here. But let me tell you, in God's eyes, you're a hero.
Amen.
You're on an elite list of God's children.
Praise the Lord.
But you know where we all came from? At one point, we were in distress.
Amen.
Didn't have any hope. Didn't have no hope whatsoever. But through God's mercy and grace and
hallelujah.
Boy, I've got hope now.
Praise the Lord.
And I'm part of a mighty army. And I don't care if I'm famous. I don't care if I'm in the top part.
Amen.
If I can just carry a bucket of water to them that's fighting, I'm happy with that. Praise the Lord. And it said, everyone that was in debt. Listen, I don't know about you guys. I had a debt I couldn't pay.
Amen.
There was no possible way I could pay that debt. No way. But a Savior, Jesus Christ, God's
paid
Holy
it out,
Son,
brother.
Paid it every bit. Can't remember where it's at, and I apologize for that. But Paul wrote, he said, he is the propitiation for our sin. You know what that means?
Yeah.
Paid in full.
Yeah.
Paid in full. Nothing else owed.
Debt cleared.
And it said, and everyone that was discontented, they weren't content with nothing. I couldn't be content with nothing. I found satisfaction in nothing. Looked and tried and searched. Couldn't find satisfaction and contentment and peace in nothing that I tried. Till that, like I said so many times, that Friday night when God dealt with my heart and Pat's heart, there was a peace, a load, a debt that was lifted off of me. And I tell you what, I believe for 2 weeks I walked about this high.
Free as a bird.
I walked about this high off the ground. But, and I got to thinking about this last man that it talked about over there. Can't remember his name now. Shema. And he just come to my mind, and I thought about him. That says that a troop of Philistines had assembled. Now, we're talking probably anywhere from 80 to possibly 200 Philistines. And a troop, and military-wise, is defined, it's a strategic group of men that are put together to accomplish a mission.
Trained.
And they're trained, highly trained. And they're there for a specific reason. They're not out there to sightsee. And to me, these people were on a mission to steal some food.
Yeah.
They were there, that's what their mission was for. And there was enough of them sent and on their way to take it. There was enough of them to do that. And all of Israel fled, except this one man. And I can just see him standing out there at the edge of that. And I begin to think about all this, the labor that went into to putting these lentils out, to planting them, to tilling them, to taking care of them, you know, till they got to where they could bear fruit so that they might have something to eat. I got to thinking about all this. And possibly even this man labored. You know, he probably labored in them some. And that might have been why he said, look, I worked hard here.
Amen.
I worked hard for this. And I'm going, if they're going to take it, they're going to have to take it.
Amen.
But God intervened. Just like he does, he intervened. And I don't believe they even took one little pod back.
Amen.
I don't believe he was even able to carry one little pod. But I got thinking about this spiritually. I've got a garden to take care of.
Amen.
I've got a field of lentils. Yes. Each and every one of us has got a field of lentils to take care of that we've worked for, that we've labored in, where you work, where you come to church, your family, where you shop. Everywhere that you go, that's your garden.
Amen.
That's your field of lentils. And Satan has assembled a group, a vast number of enemies to try to take part of that away from you.
Right.
I don't know about you. And it'd be all right if I have to pay for this this week. I don't care right now.
Bless you, brother.
I just don't care. I'm going to stand.
Hallelujah.
At the edge of the field, and
hallelujah.
I'm going to fight.
Amen.
I'm going to fight for my garden.
Amen.
I'm going to stand,
praise
Brother Paul.
Lord, brother.
He can't have it. He
Amen.
Can't have it. I'm going to stand and fight. And I believe you all are too.
Praise
I believe
Lord.
That with everything in me.
When the, you going to get any better than that, church?
When the Lord's done, I'm done.
Praise the Lord.
Listen, guys, I love you. I want you to know that. And I'm just so grateful that you all have took us in and let us be a part of this and let us try to help work in the garden that you've been working in. See, we're all in this together.
Amen.
I don't see anybody running from this garden.
No.
I believe every one of us is going to stand and fight.
Amen.
So, take that, you bunch of Philistines.
By the grace of God. Amen, brother.
So, boy, ain't the Lord good.
Amen.
This is good. But we do need to pray. We definitely need to pray.
Yes, sir.
Because we not only do we need the Lord's help, but we got brothers and sisters in Christ that need the Lord's help.
Yes.
And there's things that the Lord has made a way for me to become knowledgeable about situations and things, and I've got some unspoken requests that I'd love to see the Lord move in.
Bless
and
you,
I'd like
brother.
To ask you all to help me pray for them.
Yes, sir.
Anybody got anything to do for the Lord? I know Brother Paul does, so I'm going to turn it over to him.
Well, I tell you what, Gene, I appreciate you. Well, I love you. That's rich, boys. You know, and I read about that, and I preached about it here one time not too long ago. This man right here, he said, I'm going to guard the bean patch. I'm going to guard the pea patch. And that took courage, didn't it? Thank you, brother. And the thing about it is, though, after they done these things for David, David said, boy, I'd like to have a drink of water from back yonder from Bethlehem, out of the well. And them three went through the enemy line, and somehow or another God allowed them to go back there and get David a drink of water and brought it back to him. And you know what David done? He said, I'm not going to drink this. He said, these boys risked their lives for me. And he poured her out. Well, that's a good heart, wasn't it? But it was also a good heart to say, boy, I want a drink of water, and then have somebody that would say, well, we'll go get it for you. And Shaham, now you think about this guy, the host of Philistines was there to take his possession. But God knowed his heart. God knowed his motive. God didn't allow that. The other ones, our help, the arms was getting tarred, but he helped the sword up. And any time that I told Lou today, I said, I was seated, I come home and trying to hurry around. I said, boy, Lord, I got the Lord to give me something good. And I wish I just had the energy to preach. And then I got to thinking, well, I don't need that. I just need that anointing. If the Lord anoint me and help me, that's all we need. If I can get behind the cross for just a little while, if I can just get behind the cross and get that anointing for however long, it'd be worth the trip. And that's what I'm going to depend on tonight. And I pray tonight the Lord will bless you and help you and found a little piece of paper to write scriptures down on. But I'm going to read to you tonight let's turn to Matthew chapter number 11. I'll read five verses, and then we're going to go to our text. And I want God help me tonight to wrap all this together. And I've heard about this all my life, and you have. You know tonight that there's things that we must do to get to heaven. We must hear the beckoning call from Calvary, repent of our sins, and accept the Lord's perfect gift for mankind, which was the Son of God, for the perpetuation, for the mediator between God and man. We've got to accept that. And Paul describes it, Jesus describes it, as being born again. Not as corruptible seeds, but that's incorruptible, which is the Word of God. And then when you get born again, get saved, you begin to follow the Lord. And the more you follow Him, the more you'll learn about Him, the more you'll know about Him. But I've been moved since Monday about following the Lord, but I want to go just a little farther tonight, and I pray it'll be a blessing and a help to you. I've been preaching it all week, and all I need is the Lord's help tonight. That's all I need. I cannot do it myself. I need the Lord's help and His power and His anointing. But in St. Matthew chapter number 11, let's start reading here at, Matthew chapter number 11. I want to start reading here, about verse number 25. Now He's pronounced judgment in verse number 24 about unbelief and about those that were mocking Him and saying that He was a glutton and a wine bibber and all that. And it's because they didn't know Him. They didn't recognize Him, wouldn't hear Him. And He told them, He said, it'll be better for the day of judgment in Sodom and Gomorrah than for this crowd of these non-believers. But verse number 25, it kind of turns a little bit, and he said, at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. What is a babe? Maybe a new believer, maybe somebody just starting out, somebody that accepted Him as a child. He said, 26, that even so, Father, for it seemeth good in thy sight, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, save the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal Him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You may be seated tonight in the house of God. But you notice here that He's speaking to a crowd that didn't believe, but yet He turned to a crowd and thanked the Heavenly Father that things had been hidden to the wise, because God took the foolish things of this world and confounded the wise. God took the foolishness of preaching to save the lost, to those that would accept the Lord. And then He goes on to say here that He begins to talk about Himself here. He said, you've delivered all things into my hands. And He said, but no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Nobody knoweth the Father but the Son. But to them that the Son would reveal Himself to, those that know Him. I'm glad tonight to know that we do have a Heavenly Father. We do have His Son, that His only begotten Son that He gave as a gift of this world to whosoever would believe and, I mean, could be saved and be born again and be a follower of Christ. And then He says, I want you to come unto me. He said, for all ye that labor and are heavy laden, He said, and I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. He said, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. He said, and you'll find rest for your soul. Gene told us a while ago, and we can relate to that. You and I had no peace. We did. You can't get the peace. The world has temporary peace. Things are temporal, but Jesus said, "Peace I leave you, not as the world gives, but the peace that I'll give." He said, "It'll do the job." I quit looking a long time ago for another heaven. I quit looking a long time ago for another Jesus. I quit looking a long time ago for the Messiah to come, because the Messiah has come, and I found rest and peace unto my soul. Let's go on here a little bit tonight to Matthew chapter number 25. Matthew chapter number 25. And now think about this tonight here as we go. But Matthew chapter number 25. I want to read verse number 25. Let's see here. Matthew chapter 25, verse number 21. And look here. But Matthew 25, verse number 21. The Bible said, this is Jesus. It's wrote in red. He said, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." Now notice tonight what Jesus said right there. Let's go on and I'll get back to this. Turn with me now to Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation chapter number 22. I want to read here verse number 20 and 21. And the Bible said, Revelation 22 and 20 said, "He which testifies these things saith, surely I come quickly. Amen. Even so come, Lord Jesus. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all." John chapter number 1. St. John chapter number 1. Now think about this tonight, guys. Here we are. We talked to you a little bit about where Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." And he goes on and says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly." And I know tonight the only thing that you and I need to realize is we need to come unto Jesus. I'll tell you tonight, the Lord had a message when he was here. The Lord had a message of deliverance. You'll see in the Bible here that he goes down the road for 3.5 years in Galilee, and he began to choose his men right here. But let's notice tonight what some things that Jesus done here in John chapter number 1, and then I want to talk to you a little bit back, a little bit more about what the Lord has said and is saying and is going to say. In John chapter number 1, we see here, we know that John is John the Baptist is the forerunner of Christ, and we know that the Bible teaches us that John begins to tell us, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and the same was in the beginning." Here we are tonight, and here John is, and he begins to tell them that they want to come, and that he's not even worthy to loosen their shoelaces. And here we are, we see John here on the River of Jordan baptizing, and we see here, I believe we're doing a flyover tonight, but I got to get where I'm going. But anyway, here we see here, and John even begins to tell him that no man has seen God at any time, but only the begotten of the Father. And he said, and his record is true, John said, he said here, and here come the Jews and the priests and the Levites and all around Jerusalem, and they begin to ask John, "Well, who art thou?" I said, "Who art thou?" And John begins to tell him. He said, "I confess and deny not." He said, "But I'm not the Christ." Now stay with me. And this is when he begins to say the prophecy of Isaiah, the prophecies are coming true, how that and he said, "Hath one cried in the wilderness, make straight his paths," speaking of himself. And he said, and they that seen and heard these things were the Bible said were Pharisees. And they asked him, they said, "Well, why then baptizest thou?" He said, "If thou not be the Christ, or nor Elias, or nor none of the prophets." John answered and said to them, he said, I baptize with water. He said, "But there's one standing here," he said, "whom you know not." He said, he is who is coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latches I'm not worthy to unloose him. Remember tonight, I'm talking to you about what Jesus said unto his men. Let's go on here and we'll show you. And the Bible said, and the next day, and John seeth Jesus coming, that's in verse 29, and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." And he said, "This is he whom I said, after me cometh a man that is preferred, and that was even before me." For he said, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore, am I come baptizing with water. And John, by record, saying, "I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou seest the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same which baptized with the Holy Ghost." He said, "And I saw and by record that this is the Son of God." And right here's what I want to pick up tonight. We've said a lot, but God, please help me to get this through and to explain it, what you've laid on me. And the Bible said in verse number 35 right here, think about this. John's ministry is fulfilled. John's ministry, he's beginning to decrease, and Jesus is beginning to increase. On the next day, the Bible said, in verse 35, he said, "Again, the next day John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, here it is again, behold the Lamb of God." And now notice tonight, and the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. And then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto him, "Whom seek ye?" And they said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He said, and he said unto them, "Come and see." And they came and saw he dwelt and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And one of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother Simon and saith unto him, "We found the Messiah," which is being interpreted, the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is interpretation, "a stone." And the day following, Jesus would go into Galilee, and he find Philip, and said unto him, "Follow me." And now Philip was of Bethany, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said unto him, "Why, can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" Philip said, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and said to him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me?" Jesus answered and said to him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." And Nathanael answered and said unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art of the king of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? And thou shalt see greater things than these. And I say unto thee, I say unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. I want you to look here tonight as we look at things and look at, as the people of God, and the things that you and I, we go through on a regular and a daily basis. I want you to look tonight as we think about this and think about what's in store for us out there. Now think about what Jesus said right here. Do you think about tonight? Here we are. John's out there, and the Bible teaches us he's baptizing, and he's seen the Son of God coming there and recognized, behold, the Lamb of God. And the Bible said that John stood there, and I believe tonight, if we look at this, we see John standing still, and we see John standing there, and two of his disciples begin to follow him. And Brother Jesus, when he saw that, he said, "What are you fellows doing? What are you looking for?" And Jesus said this right, and then when he was a father in there, and they said, Jesus said, "What's happening? What's going on? Why are you following me?" Right here's what his reply was. And their reply was, "Where you staying? Where you abiding?" Right here's what I'm saying tonight. Jesus said, "Just come and see." And brethren, when they begin to follow the Lamb of God, they begin to see the Lord God's Son choose men. And brethren, he chose them there, Peter and Nathaniel and Andrew, and on and on and on, and follow me. And even Nathaniel said, he said, "Boy, well, what good? Hey, Jesus was a Nazarite. That's why he's called a Nazarene. Because, brother, they's trying to kill him, and Joseph was afraid and he fled. But that's why he was in Nazareth. That's why he was called a Nazarene." And he said, "What good thing cometh out of Nazareth? I tell you what, just come and see." And here we are tonight in this lost and dying world that's backslid and so God down the river over everything else. I'm like Jason Nunley. Everything else in the world's opened back up except the churches. Everything around's opened back up except the churches. But I want to tell you tonight, I just want to come and see what he's up to. I want to come and see where he's staying. I tell you where he's just staying. He's staying in the hearts of the children of God. I know tonight, beloved, we go through troubles and trials and tribulations and temptations. But Jesus said this right here in the book of the Revelation. He said, "I have overcome." And he said, "Ye as well. And ye can overcome by the blood and the word of your testimony." Hey, where you staying? Come and see. Notice tonight, you'll see a lot of times, most of the time, every time, there'll be people come to Jesus. They'll climb a tree. Zacchaeus climb a tree. What for? He wanted to see where he was staying. He wanted to see where he was going. He wanted to get a glimpse while he was going by. That woman for 12 years all stooped over. Her brother had that issue of blood. She reached out through the crowd, touched the hem of his garment, and he stopped in his tracks. And I can't help but to think tonight, brother, she began to follow the Lord in fear and reverence, and follow the Lord. All through the Bible, you'll see the people following the Lord. But I've got news for you tonight. Thank God. I've been trying to follow him now for 30 years. Hey, I found out where he's abiding. I found out where he's at. He's down in the house of God. Read the Bible. Brother, he'll enter into the temple and he'll grab the book from the old man of God, and he'll find the place where he says, "Had this scripture's been fulfilled before your ears, this very day." And I look tonight at the congregation, and I look at a crowd that said, "That's remember this, forget not to assemble yourselves in the manner is in the house of God." That's where Jesus is. Them two disciples that start following Jesus. John was a standing there. And you don't hear much more about John other than being beheaded. But John stood there and his men took off and began to follow him. It wasn't nothing said other than the Pharisees that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, even though he baptized not but his disciples. I've got news for you tonight. Ain't gonna be a day one day that he's gonna say this right here. He said, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." It's all over the Bible, boys and girls. And women. Hallelujah. Down yonder. He'll say, "Enter in to the joys of the Lord." We can follow him tonight, and we can follow him tomorrow by grace. But there'll be one day, he said, "Hey, you want to know where I abide? Now let me show you where I really abide. I abide in heaven, yonder in glory. I abode on earth for 33 and a half years. But now, my beloved, come on in. I found out where he abode one day, and I began to follow him. I found out where he was one day. He's with us in the heart of the people of God. I tell you what, I mean, here he said, "Well done, thou good and thy faithful servant." Have you been faithful over a few things? He said, "I've seen you come to church when you didn't feel like it. I've seen you come to church just after you lost your wife. I've seen you come to church when your husband's still lost. I've seen you come to church when there's troubles at every hand. And you've been wondering all alone where I abode. But now you know where I abode." Hey, but he said, "I've got news for you. Come on into heaven. Come on in forever and ever." He said, "Follow me, and I'll make you fisher of men." He come to them there. There Peter and them was. You'll see some was a mending their net. Some was a casting their net. What did he say? "Follow me." And they begin to follow him. And I'm thinking here, he said, "Boys, it ain't always going to be good." He said, "The foxes have holes, and the birds in the nest, and the Son of Man even hath not a place to lay his head." He said, "But hey, what house have ye built me?" Hey, we are the temple of God. He abides in the heart of the child of God. And thank God one day he stood outside the heart, at the door of my heart one day, and knocked. And you know what happened? He said, "I'll stand at the door and knock." He said, "And if you'll let me in, I'll come in and set a boat with you." He come in one day, and he said, "Follow me wheresoever I go." But I can't wait to hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You know where I abode. But come spend eternity with me." Praise the Lord. Like I'm right here, right here is what it all boils down to. Revelation 22:22-20 says it right here. He said this right here. I read it to you. John the angel come to John there on the Isle called Patmos. Think about it tonight. John was there. John was exiled out there. I mean, boy, they sent him out there for preaching preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, they put him out there. But you know what they done? That's all right, boys. I mean, John was out there. But God, they allowed John to have the revelation of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. But the devil thought he was doing away with him. But I tell you what was going on. John was telling us where he abode. And not only that, he said, "Behold, I come quickly." He said, "And my reward is with me." What is that? Come on in. Blessed of the Father. Come on in, blessed of the Father, and enjoy the pleasures of this place. Heaven, heaven's gate, heaven's home. We're pilgrims and strangers passing through. Sometimes the yoke gets heavy. Sometimes the burden is not so light. But I can hear him say, cast them all on me. I care for you. I'll tell you where I abode. Come and see. I don't know why and how people can't get excited about where Jesus is. I don't understand that. I got to come and see. I preach it 1,000 times, and if the Lord gives me enough gumption, enough mind to do it, I'm going to tell it again tonight. There's a woman down yonder. She was the queen down there in Sheba. Boy, she got down there, and it had been her homeland. And all of a sudden, she saddled up her mules and her donkeys and loaded them down with, hey, tonight, you know what I'm doing? I'm laying treasures up over yonder. Over long. I can't get in. She loaded her damn bug and went down there to Solomon's temple. When she got down there and she got with Solomon, what did the Bible say? Solomon opened his heart and told her everything, didn't he? Hey, tonight, they ain't been nothing done in a corner. He's given us all that we need. And what you got down there, she said this, I see where your servants abode. I see how you take care of them around the table. But I look at all of the splendor and all of the things that I see. And Solomon, I've got the conclusion of the whole matter. Half ain't never been told. When he said, come and follow me, I had no idea where I'd be going. But I'll assure you, it's been a joyful journey. Come and see. Think about John's disciples. You don't hear nothing about John getting jealous. You don't hear nothing about John of wondering where them boys is going. They followed Jesus. You know why they followed him? They followed him, and when Jesus recognized that, he turned to them and they said, where do you abode? Jesus said, well, just come on and see. Think about this tonight, guys. When God called Abraham down yonder, chapter number 12 in the book of Genesis, God said, Abraham, he said, I want you to follow me. Abraham left everything, family, country, everything. And brother, the Bible said he began to follow God, not knowing where he was going, but he had faith enough to believe God, that God was going to lead him to a good country and a good land. Think about it tonight, guys. And when they got down there, and there come a little strife between him and his nephew Lot, and brother, Abraham using wisdom and said, hey, I don't want to hurt but a fussing and a fighting and not getting along. Which way you want to go? And the Bible said Lot pitched his tent down by the well water places, and the old man of God went to the mountain, and the Bible said Lot vexed his soul with his conversation and all that he's seen down there. I mean, you talk about one saved by the skin of his teeth, and you talk about one that just got pulled out. It was Lot, but his wife turned to a pillar of salt. Abraham, guys, and Sarah, and even being dead, the Bible said, conceived and brought forth a son. That's where you get tonight. The 12 patriarchs of God, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the 12 tribes of Israel, 24 seats around the throne, one representative out of every tribe, and the 12 apostles, and the pure water flowing out from the throne. That's God's word. That's the blessed book that Jesus turned to them two disciples and said, Come and see. Listen, guys. Jesus come in the volume of the book. I don't care what they say. When Isaiah said in chapter number 55, "Home, come ye to the water and drink." He's talking about drinking. He's talking about drinking the fountain of life. When the Samaritan woman went back down there to Samaria, after Jesus told her, "You drink this well, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of this water, you'll never thirst again. Give me this drink." You know what she done? She come by as she went running, slapped down back down there and said, "Hey, I found the man that told me all that I ever did. Won't you just come and see?" That's how it works, guys. We're coming and seeing, but waiting on him to say, "Come, I'm blessed of my Father. Come in. You've been faithful over a few things." Ain't that the final call? Ain't that what we're waiting on? Of the burdens heavy and things like that along the way. But glory to God, one day he'll say, "Come away, my fair one." Where are you going, Jesus? Just come and see. It's all through the Bible, guys. It's an invitation from the cross. People say, "Where you go to church?" Come and see. What goes on down there? Well, I'll tell you what goes on down there. We got people down there that love God. We got people down there right now that their burdens is pretty heavy. We got people right down there right now that finding it pretty hard to carry their load. We've got some right down there right now that they're not here tonight, but they experienced a wedding. They just got married. They're happy. They're on the journey of life together now. Everywhere you go, and everywhere you find the multitude of the people around Christ, you'll find all different situations. There was a pool down there called Bethesda one time, John 5. The Bible said that a certain time of the year the angel comes stirring the water. As laying down there waiting on him. Laying down there waiting on the moving the water. There laid that man for 38 years. And Jesus said, "What's the matter to you, brother?" He said, "Can't you get in the water, son?" "No, I can't get in there. Every time I start to get in there, well, really what it boils down to, Lord, I ain't never really had nobody to say, 'Come and see.'" And Jesus said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And he got that bed and got up. I tell you what that fella done. When he went down there to Lazarus' tomb, and Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Hey, Lazarus, come forth." That old boy, I laid his bed down. "I can't help it." You'll carry your testimony with you where the Lord brought you from. And he said, "Help." I loosed him and let him go. Unwrapped Lazarus. I tell you what old Lazarus might have said when they got him unwrapped and he realized what happened. I bet he might have said, "Hey, Mary and Martha, come and see. Let's go see what the Lord's doing." And by the grace of God, one of these days, I'm going to hear him say, "Come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden." But I've got news for you. Come into the joys of the Lord. Amen. Can't you see what I'm preaching tonight? John's disciples were told this. Come and see. Samaritan woman said, "Come and see." The Queen of Sheba said, "I had to see it for myself." Zacchaeus was wanting to see. The woman with the issue of blood was wanting to see. The man, you find the axe handle. The man of God was a... Boy, this is big tonight, church. Hey, just come and see. And come and see. And I'll tell you what you'll see. You'll learn that sometimes your burdens get heavy. You'll learn sometimes the yoke gets tied around your neck. You'll learn that maybe you feel like sometimes you're the only one pulling. But I'll promise you tonight, guys, you're never alone. He said, "I'll go with you all the way, even into the end of the world." And then when that happens, he'll say, "Come on in. You've been faithful over a few things. Now enjoy the goodness and the things of God forever." Oh, me, I wish I could preach. Praise the Lord. When John's disciples said that, that's what got me started. Come and see. He chose his men to follow him. They saw a lot of things, guys. They saw death. They saw wars. They saw persecution. They were boiled in oil. They were crucified upside down. The old prophet sawed asunder. Seen a lot of things. But by the grace of God, tonight we're here because of him. I don't know about you. My flesh is willing, but the spirit is weak. I didn't feel good this evening. Brother Gene got to guarding the pea patch and got to thinking about them three going to get water. Got to thinking in humility just how I'm a worm, I'm nothing. I know God don't need me, but I need him. And I realized all that. David poured that water out. I'm just trying to give you something to eat, something to go on, give you some hope. I'll give you a blessing, give you some joy, give you some comfort. And give me some strength. And by the help of God tonight, church, we'll make it after a while. Amen. We'll get to hear him say that. Amen. Lord Jesus, come quickly. I don't know about you. I say that sometimes, and I go to singing that old song. Lord, can you wait just a little longer? I've got lost till I can see saved. I don't know, Lord. I believe it is getting short. I believe times are running out. And I'll be honest with you guys, I'll be 61 my birthday, and I didn't, who'd ever thought it went by so fast? I told you the other day about giving that little old girl a candy on Valentine's Day, and it's probably 10 or 11 years ago, and it's the worst time to go, but it's just like God said it would. He said it's like a vapor. It appeared for just a little while. And I know one thing. I tell you what, when the birth of Samson was announced, that angel came and told Manoah there, and they got out there in the field. Didn't tell her husband. He finally found out and wanted him to eat, wanted him to stay, and they offered a sacrifice. The Bible said that angel had a fit. They ain't found what he done. Somehow or another, he got in that bay, that smoke, and just went right straight up out of sight, right back into heaven. I'm going to tell you something tonight. This crowd going to stand around too long one day. Yeah. They're going to see us go up.
That's right.
By the grace of God, I want to go. Yeah. By the grace of God, I aim to go. Yeah. I'm like Gene. Sometimes I may feel like you're standing alone. Guard your pea patch. God will help you. When your burden gets light, when it gets too heavy, just remember, take my yoke upon you. Casting all of your cares upon me, for I careth for you. He didn't say, come follow me, and then leave us out there in the desert. I want to try to get so close to him and hear his footsteps. Amen. I look around the congregation sometimes, and I can see him. I can see his direction, the way he's ahead. And I want to follow him. And I tell you guys, we serve a God that he's doing something. He's working. And he'll work. No man will hinder it. But I'd just like to be just a little bitty part of it for his glory, to give him honor and praise. He brought me up out of the ditch. Dallas Moore told me today, he read that scripture to me. I preached in Jeremiah where they took them old rotten rags and got him up out of the ditch. Tears coming down his eyes. He said, preacher, that's the one who got me. That's what it's all about, guys. Getting people to follow Jesus. No wonder Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. I tell you why he said that. Because he knew how to follow him. He knew how to follow him. I'd like to do better. I'd like to follow closer and see him work more in your lives and in our lives. See them saved, Debbie, and so on and so forth. Little Sierra right there, sweet little old thing, sat right there for a long time. She always knew where to turn in her Bible. Sometimes she needed help, Lou, just help her find the Old Testament or something. You don't never know when you're leaving here. She was a young girl. She left here. But by the grace of God, let's be ready when he calls. And when he calls, we will answer. We won't say, we won't be able to say, wait, Lord, just give me a little more time. But boy, won't it all be worth it? Won't it all be worth it when we get to hear him say? And I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear him say, depart from me. Lord, what awful eternal words that would be. I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Yes.
Boy, that ought to be our heart's desire. The aim, the end goal. So I'm going to tell you tonight, guys, I was going to preach a message on it, and I might one of these days, by the help of the Lord. Where's your faith going to take you? Where's it going to take you? It'll take you to heaven. Teach us, Lord. Show us. Grow us. And help us that others may want to follow us to that land and that country called heaven. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. What a God. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I'm meek and lowly. His way is easy. My way is what gets hard, because I want to start doing it my way. He's a good God. What love he has for us, guys. He loves us enough that he gave heaven's best. Became poor that we could be rich. Rich in his mercy and his grace and his love. Anything tonight spiritually before we dismiss? All hearts and minds clear. Buford, dismiss us in prayer. Will you tonight, brother?
Heavenly Father, we pray your holy name. Blessings and love. Prepare us one more time to come down here to be fed from the Master's table. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for the blessings of life that you've seen fit to give us life beyond our allotted time, Heavenly Father. We praise you, Lord, most of all, for your saving grace, for the sacrifice that you made to send your only begotten Son to Calvary to die in our place. Pray a death that he didn't owe because we owe a death to give pay. We pray, Heavenly Father, you give us all safe travel to our homes. Bring us back, Heavenly Father, Sunday morning with nothing on our hearts and our minds except to worship you and serve you in spirit and truth. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Good night. May the Lord bless all of you. You want to make this banner right here feel well. What's your name?
John.
John. John Moore, it's good to have you.